The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, welcome back to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis, and we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And today, for a little bit here, we're going to talk to Jason and Jennifer Carter from Carter Taxidermy in Imesville. Just a little promotion here, 11334 Browningsville Road in Imesville, Maryland, CarterTaxidermy.com, right?
.net.
CarterTaxidermy.net. And, of course, you have a Facebook page, too.
Yeah, it's just Jason Carter.
Jason Carter, 240-674-9053. They've agreed to join us this morning, Jason and Jennifer, award-winning taxidermists, both. The most recent award was first place in the Masters Division with a beautiful white-tailed deer pedestal mount in the Maryland Taxidermy Competition in 2015. And we hope you can, if you're just joining us, you can go back and listen to the podcast about what we talked about in the first hour of the show. But we were talking about taking care of your deer to, you know, the pre-work. We talked about what you do as far as the mounting and that type of thing. And, you know, we'll have to have you back and we'll talk about some of the finish work, you know, how you set the eyes and that type of thing to get the expression, the mouth and that type of thing. It's all fascinating to me. But with this being Youth Day, we're talking about the care of your deer to, you know, to bring it to taxidermist if, you know, you want to preserve that memory of that hunt. So, average guy, they shoot the deer, they've listened to this show, or they've listened to you, or they've done their pre-work, they've got the field dressing part down, and now what do they do with it? They take it to a butcher shop, they take it to a deer processor, and it's fine. And how do the butchers do for the most part?
For the most part, the butchers do very well. Sure. You know, in the earlier season, when it's not that busy, that's a little better work. But when the gun seasons come in and they got 50 deer laying there to skin, obviously they got to pick up the pace.
Right.
There are some mistakes made, but nothing can't be fixed.
Okay.
Also wanted to touch base is, you know, some people can't afford to go to a butcher, and they try to take care of it themselves. And
good idea.
That is where the cape comes a factor for the mount. That's
okay.
It's a very difficult situation, and hopefully on my website here shortly, I'm going to have a diagram posted up how to cut it.
Sure.
I'm actually thinking about making a video.
Sure.
Just a quick time lapse video, and
sure,
you know, just touch the bases, and then you'll see me go down through it, or
right,
Jennifer will. And it's
so
very
okay.
Helpful.
I've got my deer. I've got it hooked through the hocks. It's hung up in my garage, and I'm getting ready to skin it. I know I haven't cut it far, you know, I haven't cut it as far as up into the brisket or anything like that.
Too far, right?
I haven't field dressed it too far, but I want to preserve it for the shoulder mount. What's the best thing I do? Should I just start skinning it?
The absolute best thing you can do is come to my shop and let me take the cape off of it.
Okay.
No additional charge.
Right.
Or your taxidermist.
Right.
They will do that, and it shouldn't be an additional charge.
Right.
And what we personally do is we'll take the cape off and we'll saw the front legs off just right at the knees, and then
right,
we'll take a black trash bag and slide back over it and tie it real tight.
Yep.
Get all the air out of it, put it right back in the truck. It's like it never happened.
Right.
That's the best way
if
you don't have a clue. But hanging upside down in the garage, like you said, by the back legs, and the deer's, the legs are sticking out, the best thing to do is to try to tube those legs out. And when I say tube it, you can skin the whole hide down from the legs.
You're talking about front legs.
Front legs, yes.
Okay.
What I like to do is I like to take the cape off first.
Okay.
So I like to make a ring, go about 6 to 12 inches back behind the shoulder.
Okay.
Ring around the chest.
Yep.
With an
below the brisket.
Below, yes, up toward, actually, right about where the rib cage would meet the incision line for the field dress.
Okay, so start at that field dress line.
You just make a line completely around the deer.
Okay,
because it's hanging upside down. So,
right.
And then basically, what you want to do is just tube that deer out like a sock.
Just peel it. Yep.
You can do incisions up the back of the legs, but if you take your time, the best way to do it is just to pull that down and kind of invert them legs. And if you take your time and skin, you can get all that tubed out. It's just like peeling a sock off.
Right.
If you treat the deer as a sock, the legs are obviously sticking off that, but you can also treat them the same way.
Right.
To get it down, skin it down all the way down the neck, so you can, of course, get save the meat for your neck roast. And you can take a sawzall or hacksaw and cut the neck off and bring it to us, or wrap it up in a bag, throw it in the freezer with the antlers. Try to keep it airtight if you can't get to us right away.
Right.
There is a way to make an incision that's a little bit faster, but it's kind of hard to describe.
Let's not get into that here.
I'll post something up on the website. I'm going to do a how-to video, hopefully.
Sure. So basically, you can saw the deer's legs off the knees. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. After you tube, you can. It's easier if you cut them off first, right at the knees. And
right.
When you tube it, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
To cut it off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So, all right. But let's say the guy wants to skin the legs out. Let's say he cuts the knees off. The front legs off the knees, where's the best place to make that incision?
Okay,
on a shoulder mount.
When the deer is hanging upside down, the inside of the leg has white hair.
Right.
And there almost looks like a seam there on a whitetail. There's a tuft of hair that runs all the way up the back of that leg, clear to the armpit. And you want to make an incision right on that mark, go clear to the armpit, and then go do a 90-degree turn and go straight up that cape towards the back legs.
Okay.
Which is...
All right.
When you see it, it's easier.
Yeah, it's easier than to describe it. But let's stick with the tubing if we can.
Yeah, the tubing right now is a no-brainer.
Yeah, just kind of.
I mean, it's
you got to do a little work to get that leg turned and get that shoulder turned.
Kind of untuck it out of there, but if you fight it it's definitely
And I notice you don't use a giant skinning knife to skin these animals out. You use a scalpel.
I got one of those little. Havilon knives, I guess, give them a plug. Hopefully
yeah, sure.
Send me something free.
Yeah, right.
but I use the number 60 blades. They're like the autopsy scalpels, and they're really good for what I do, because when it gets dull, just change them, but you have to be very careful, because if you make a slip with one of them, it could be catastrophic.
Yeah.
They're so sharp.
Yeah, got it. So the average guy using his own knife.
Yeah,
yeah. Just take it easy, take your time.
I prefer just keep with your knives and keep those holes
out
of the cage.
Bring us the deer.
And again, it's not an extra charge.
Right.
You know yourself, you can back right up to the shop there.
Sure.
And most people we can just pull it right up and use the own truck to pull it out of there. It's kind of a hillbilly system, but it works for us.
It works for you guys, you know, that's right. Sure.
It's easy, so. And I don't have a problem even skinning deer for people. If they're going to go to another taxidermist, they want me to secure it. Of course, it'd be a small charge for that.
Well, it'd have to be. Your time's valuable.
Yeah, but, you know, I like to see, you know, the deer be taken care of as opposed to worry about competition.
Exactly. Very good. All right. Jennifer, any final words that you'd like to tell the listeners as far as taking care of their deer, or anything you'd like to say to them as far as what you do and getting the, you know, if they're skinning it themselves, I mean, you probably have more issues with that than you do with a butcher shop as far as the fleshing work is concerned. They leave more hide or more scraps on the hide.
As far as the fleshing goes, it really doesn't matter. Actually, it's kind of easier if there is more meat as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you're getting less in your freezer, but, you know, it doesn't really matter either way for us. Most people, like Jason said, either take it to a butcher or bring it to us to do. We do have a couple customers who are, you know what they're doing, and they'll bring it to us already caped up to the neck.
Right.
But, you know, usually it's not going to concern anything unless you cut holes. That's the biggest thing, just
cutting
to be careful. And, not cut, you know, try to be careful with your knife and not make anything that's going to have to be a repair that might be visible on
don't
your mount
cut
later.
The neck.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Do not slice the neck.
Once the deer is dead, you don't have to cut the neck.
Yeah, or you don't cut the neck to kill it. There's probably a better way you can do it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to touch base. Have we got a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
About the DNR standpoint.
Yes.
And the paperwork.
Yes.
We get a lot of deer that come in that they haven't checked them in yet, and of course, we can't take them until they are checked.
So right.
They're field tagged. And
sure.
Just to try to get the confirmation number, try to get all that in order. And that's another thing Jennifer does. She works with the people to get the paperwork straight and, you know, make sure the numbers are there and logged in, because we have to have all that to...
Well, in general, I don't think our audience knows that you get inspections from the Natural Resources Police.
They check your freezer, they check your logbook. And it can be any day, as many times as they want.
Yeah, they check your logbook, they check your freezer, they check your tags, they check your confirmation numbers.
That's right.
Then they go back and check the confirmation numbers that are in question against the hunter's record.
That's right, yeah.
Keep your paperwork in order.
Yeah, keep your paperwork. You know, a big point I like to make out there, especially to the youths, is make sure you fill out your big game harvest on the back of your license.
That's true.
That's a pretty big fine if you don't, and I think it was $500 the last I heard.
When you fill out your tag and you attach it to the deer, and it says it has to be attached to the head. That doesn't mean you have to slice the ear on a buck.
Oh, exactly.
Tie it to the rack.
Or if it's a doe, tie it to the foot.
Tie it to the foot if you want, but it says the head.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I got you.
Yeah. So a doe, I mean, if you're getting a doe mounted,
just
don't cut the ear. Just tie it on there. Make a necklace or do something just so it's attached to the head. Okay? But get that, once you put that field tag on, you also have to fill that big game harvest card out with your license in the field
when you
take possession of that deer. And then you call that deer and you have 24 hours to do that, but you also have to write that confirmation number on that big game harvest tag. It's a pain in the butt. Make sure you know your county code. Make sure you know your land code, whether it's private land or public land, when you check that in. And if you listen to the whole process, you can call the DNR telecheck number and listen to the process before you actually give them any information.
Yeah.
That's all the things they want. They want the two-digit county code, like Montgomery's 13, I believe.
We get tons of calls when they're in the field. Well, do you know the county code?
I'm like,
do you have your book? And they're like, yeah, I said, it's in there.
It's in there.
And that's another thing. You know, read that book and know exactly what you're supposed to be
doing.
And, you know, it's, again, part of that preparation and that pre-planning we were talking about earlier.
Pre-planning and get all the rules, get all the paperwork done and the way it's supposed to be. Jennifer, Jason.
What? I was also going to mention that I think DNR now has a new app. So they're making it easy for the hunters to check things in the field.
Exactly.
And most people nowadays have a smartphone, so it's easy to get in your car,
get on the
app. It takes you a couple minutes, and you're done.
You're done. I call mine in. Yep, you're right. Okay, Jennifer, Jason, thanks for joining us this morning. And Carter Taxidermist, 240-674-9053, 11334 Browningsville Road in Imesville, Maryland. And it's cartertaxidermy.net. And we want to say thanks again for being here.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Hey, the hump is back. I don't know what that means, but that's what the commercial says. It's the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil operated autoloader on the planet. That's the A5 from Browning. You waterfowl or hunters, you want to take a look at this one. With 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee, the kinematic drive system and ergo balanced feel of this gun just makes it shooting perfection. It's got a lot of features that you're going to like. The A5 Browning. I want you to check that out at Clyde Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, look, Billy, the owner, likes the gold light 10-gauge if you're into 10-gauge. That's for sure. It's a proven standard for auto-loading performance. It's a 3.5-inch chamber on this gas-operated auto-loader. It comes with a DuraTouch armor coating in Mossy Oak camo. And you will love that if you're a 10-gauge shooter. And Maxis, that's the other great waterfowl semi-automatic shotgun from Clyde Sport Shop. Auto-loader shotgun with waterfowl hunting perfection. 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. Power gas drive system reduces recoil. Take a look at all three of these. The A5, the Maxis, and the Gold Light 10-gauge at Clyde Sport Shop in Lansdowne. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway Exit 9. 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sport. Hey, bologna. I mean deer bologna in 5 flavors, mild to spicy, with or without cheese. Deer hot dogs, deer jerky, applewood deer bacon, smoked deer hams, whole or chip, deer burger patties, barbecue snack sticks. Are you getting hungry yet? At M&G Wild Game Processing in Westminster, your deer can be made into all these tasty specialties. M&G Wild Game Processing can skin and cut your deer just the way you like it. And all your venison cuts are vacuum sealed. They can skin and cape your deer for mounting with taxidermy services provided by Pools Taxidermy. M&G Wild Game Processing offers convenient 24-hour drop-off, and they're open 7 days a week for pickup. M&G is located behind Bullock's Restaurant on Route 32 near Route 97, 2020 Sykesville Road in Westminster. The website is mgprocessing.com, and the phone number is 443-375-7138. If you live in Central Maryland, you're searching for a deer processor, your hunt is over. Call 443-375-7138 for M&G Wild Game Processing. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Hey folks, Pocomoke Sound oysters are now available in the shell or by the pint at NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie. And NBS Seafood has plenty of their own delicious frozen soft crabs to enjoy this fall. NBS is your Louisiana connection with live crabs, live crayfish, gator tail nuggets, and gator sausage. Now, NBS Seafood carries fresh fish, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, fresh crab meat, and a variety of other seafood items. And they have the spice to make your seafood taste great. Did you know NBS also has pasture-raised, antibiotic-free dressed chickens? Stop by and see NBS Seafood or call 410-271-3202. NBS is open Thursday, Friday, and Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from noon till 6, and accepts Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donny RV. Any questions, please call 410-271-3202 for NBS. That's No Bull Stuff Seafood.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you can win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFH deer processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Well, we're gonna change directions here a little bit. We've got a caller on the line from state of Washington. Fellow's name is Kevin Weir. Am I saying that right, Kevin?
Yes, sure.
All right, good. Kevin contacted me by email. I don't know why. I don't have any idea why he reached out to me here in Maryland, but
Apparently he ran across the Outdoorsman radio show online and told me about an invention called the wide-angle shooting system choke tube. We had a conversation, and I said, well, you know, I'd like to try that. I'm shooting a Remington right now, and Kevin was gracious enough to send me one, so I'm anxiously awaiting the goose season, the waterfowl season, to come in to screw this choke tube into my shotgun. So, Kevin, where are you from?
I live in Bremerton, Washington, right above the Bremerton Shipyard.
Okay. The Bremerton Shipyard. Tell us about that. What is that?
It's one of the naval stations here around the Puget Sound area.
Okay. And you are, I take it, a waterfowler.
Dyed in the wool. That's my passion. That's what I do.
That's what you do, is hunt waterfowl. So, tell me about the thought process for this tube, and then we'll get into how it works. You're shooting ducks and geese, and you're not killing them all like you should. You know, all of us kill all the birds all the time, most of the time. But all the time, most of the time. But what brought you to this creation called the wide angle shooting system?
Well, I was at work one day and just out of, I don't know why I thought of him, but a gentleman that I used to guide for a few years is an ex-Navy SEAL, and he told me his favorite weapon was a 870 Remington, and he would take a hammer and beat the muzzle down so that his pellets came out in a lateral pattern, dispersion.
And really?
So, yeah, you know, I thought, that sounds pretty damn good. I've got to check in on that. And so it just went from there. And then I realized when you talk to people, be it on the skeet range, sporting clays, in the duck blind, the only excuse you ever hear, only probably 90% of the time, is I shot behind.
Right.
So I thought if I could spread the pattern out so that it's wide but narrow, I could put more of the pellets that are above and below your target with a normal choke tube into that pattern in the front and back. And so that would help decrease the misses from leading not enough. And it works. It's phenomenal.
Okay. So your inspiration was from a fellow who had an old standard Remington. And to get a wide pattern from his shotgun, he took a hammer and flattened the end of the barrel.
Literally.
To some degree, not like he made it half an inch wide or whatever. But
no.
Okay, so that was the impetus. That was the beginning of you trying to say, well, we have screw and choke tubes. Why couldn't we make one that shoots a oblong, elliptical, what do you call it?
Oval, rectangle.
Rectangle. Okay. Why not make that?
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, as a waterfowler, you've tried this and you perfected it, and I'm sure it was trial and error over the course of time. And, you know, you had to find a machine shop that was able to make this. This looks like it's made out of pretty heavy stainless steel.
Yes.
And you own a machine shop? You contracted with a machine shop? Or how did that all work?
I initially was working with one of the local machine shops.
Right.
They're used to the big contracts with the Naval Yard.
Right.
So they didn't have the time to work with me.
Right.
And so I contacted a company that makes the CNC machinery that machine shops use.
Right.
I said, do you have any customers who could use extra business? They got me in touch with a shop in South Louisiana.
Okay.
And one of the machinists there who helped develop these, ultimately, he's now my vice president.
What's his name?
Dustin Roberts.
Dustin Roberts.
Yes.
Too bad he didn't have Sun on the end of that. We might be seeing him on TV.
You might could, yes.
Referring, of course, to the Robertson family. All right. So you got Dustin involved. He needed some work, and you two brainstormed, I guess, and figured out how to create this thing, and Dustin was able to take your concept to the drawing board and eventually to the machine shop.
Yes.
And you did all that with what was the acronym you used? Computer graphics.
Well, that's what the machine shop used. I just use a regular piece of notebook paper and a pencil.
No, they use They use the computer graphics to craft a thing and make sure that everyone's consistent. Correct.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're just not doing this by hit and miss. This is something that you've put into production, and you have a patent or a patent pending on this image.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, let me describe what I'm holding in my hand. This is a stainless steel tube of metal that has a threaded end that fits down into the shotgun barrel that goes into where the standard choke tube goes. It goes into the end of the barrel. Now, there's a knurled knob that stops the barrel from going any further, and I want to ask you about that in just a minute, but at the end, you have not a extended choke tube, not a ported choke tube or anything like that. You just have stainless steel, heavy stainless steel. And when you look down this thing, it goes from round, where it's attached to the rest of the device, where it's part of the rest of the device, to an end that is machined to basically an oval shape, right?
Yes.
So when the pellets exit, this choke tube compresses the wad and sends everything out the end. And end result is an oval pattern of shot, no matter whether it's steel shot, lead shot, no matter what size it is, buckshot all the way down to bird shot. Am I correct on that?
Number 9 pellets all the way up to triple aught.
Number 9 to triple aught. There you go.
One thing is they will not shoot the designer loads, such as blindside.
The designer loads that have the odd-shaped pellets, is that what you're saying? So what about Black Cloud?
I've not even fooled with that.
Okay.
Standard loads that the average guy is going to use.
Okay, so this is for the average guy. Got it. Black Cloud, just so you know, has about one out of every so many pellets has a knife edge on it.
Yes.
And you haven't fooled with Black Cloud through this choke tube.
No.
Well, I'll be your field tester on that, because that's pretty much what I use for everything. So
all right,
we'll do that. Now, I also use Kent. Kent steel and some of their formulations, so we'll be able to get a real good test out of this. So, okay, so not only is this for waterfowl, but it's also for trap and skeet, and that's where this little knurled ring comes in. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
All right, tell me about the knurled ring. So my barrel it's screwed onto my barrel, okay, and it's tied up against this. It's tied up against this ring. This knurled ring, but if I want to turn this knurled ring, I'm actually turning the entire tube, correct? What's that?
You can if you go in one direction.
Yeah, in one direction. But I can adjust this knurled ring to wherever I want it to stop the tube from, or to stop the barrel where I want to stop it, which means that I can adjust this choke tube to shoot that oval pattern horizontally, vertically, diagonally, or whichever way I want to adjust it. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So what in the world inspired you to be able to do that?
My initial thought was for divers and sea ducks, which, of course, fly a relatively flat flight path. But the sporting clays market is so huge. How can I get into that market? And I realized half the targets on the sporting clays are going to be at a different angle than horizontal.
Okay.
I wanted a way to turn the tube to the most difficult target a shooter has at a particular station. And you've got to rotate it.
And you can do this instantly. You can do this instantly. This is not something you have to preset, but you can do this on the way from one station to the next. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
It doesn't take long.
Now, I can also see that if you're shooting turkeys, For example, you could adjust this tube to shoot a vertical pattern and be able to cover more of the head neck area of the turkey. I can see that on some sea ducks, is you mentioned, I mean, for our listeners who haven't shot sea ducks, it's pretty crazy. You go out and you shoot at the first bird, you know, you lead like a car length in front of the first bird and the fourth bird falls out. You know, so you definitely need that. You definitely need that wide pattern, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, I want to look at some of this, some of these numbers that you have here. At 30 yards, your pattern is approximately 40 inches wide and 20 inches high.
Yes.
So most of the pellets are going to be on the flight of the target, assuming you don't shoot under.
Right.
Okay. That, like you mentioned at the beginning, it's mostly behind. This is pretty fascinating, Kevin. Tell people how you can find out more about this.
You can certainly go to my website, wideangleshootingsystems.com.
Okay.
Also have a Facebook page under the same title.
Okay. Wideangleshootingsystems.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Feel free to give me a call at any time or email.
Okay.
Talk with everybody about it.
And that's on the website?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. And what else would you like to tell our listeners about this tube? We talked about the inspiration. We talked about the construction of stainless steel. We talked about the adaptability. How many different firearms do you have planned for this choke tube to fit? I've got a Remington 12 gauge, which seems to be the most common waterfowl choke out there, but we've got dealers that you know, specialize in Browning here. We have Benelli and Beretta here in Maryland, a lot of popularity with those brands. Are those tubes on the shelf yet, or are they coming?
They are coming, hopefully within the next two weeks or so.
Oh, okay, great.
Benelli, Beretta, Browning, Mossberg, Winchester, Remington. I think Weatherby's going to be in the line. So
wow.
We're going to cover everybody as much
sure.
as we can.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for the guys that are having a little doubt about this,
yeah.
I certainly would like them to go to one of the sites and look at the patterns that are posted.
Sure.
It is so phenomenal, not just to pull my own cord here, but yesterday I got a call from a houndsman in Montana who wants me to come over with my shotgun and choke tube and help him take out a cougar.
Cool.
Well, I mean, it's just crazy that what people are realizing that these tubes can do.
Exactly. Well, I'm thinking home defense. If you've got a Remington shotgun sitting in your closet and your house gets invaded, you put that choke tube on the vertical pattern. You're gonna take out your entire hallway. And as I always tell my listeners, I'm telling the listeners, you can spackle and get new carpet, but you know, you hit somebody with a load of buckshot, that's pretty much the effect that you want, right?
Exactly. And one thing I'm the most proudest of and humbled by is there are some Marines that have been deployed and are in combat right now that are using these choke tubes on their tactical shotguns.
And in a combat situation, I can see that in close quarters where they're trying to shoot down an alleyway, or they're in a home, or they're in a situation where they need to reduce collateral civilian damage. To me, that makes a lot of sense.
And I have been told that they are turning these tubes to a vertical pattern,
right?
Because of the collateral proximity of,
sure,
of the
other people.
Items.
All right, well, Kevin. Very good, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We're going to ask you to give your website out one more time and tell us the name of your business, and we're going to try and send some folks your way and get some of these choke tubes out here into Maryland.
I hope we can get them there. My website is wideangleshootingsystems.com, Facebook page under the same name. They can call me anytime they want at 360-271-2836.
2836. Let's see.
Anybody is interested or wants to find out more info?
Sure. 360-271-2836.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Weir, thanks for joining us today. I think we're probably going to be talking to Dustin Roberts here pretty soon. Am I right on that?
That's the plan.
All right, buddy. We'll let you go, and we'll catch up with you later.
I hope we can, and we'll share a blind next season.
Works for me. Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
High pressure is going to result in dry weather through this week, and will be cool today, and the temperatures will warm up from tomorrow into Monday. But it could be out early today, clear with gusty winds out of the west and northwest at times through the afternoon, some sunshine with a high temperature around the 50-degree mark. Tonight it will be clear. Winds will start to diminish, and the overnight low will drop down to 33. And then a warmer Sunday tomorrow, sunny with a high near 61. That warming trend continues on Monday, mostly sunny with a high reaching the mid-60s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole, wishing you all a happy and a merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have, give those who haven't. Oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
Hi, I'm Craig Morgan. You might know me for my songs, but before I sang country music, I served in the United States Army. For almost 20 years, I served side by side with some of the most resilient men and women I've ever met. They taught me that we all go through challenges, and one small act can make a big difference during tough times. If you're a veteran or a service member in crisis, or even having thoughts of suicide, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. All it takes is one call, one chat, or one text to connect. Caring, trained responders are available 24/7 with free confidential support for veterans, service members, and the people who love them. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838255. One call, one chat, one text, one conversation can open the door to support. Reach out today. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Maybe it's time to take a fresh look at everything we thought we knew about landing a great job. For instance, perhaps great careers start at the middle school science fair instead of at the job fair. Because the fact is, the jobs of the future will be heavily geared towards science, technology, engineering, and math. In other words, STEM. So if you're a student, talk to your school counselor about STEM. If you're a parent, talk to your kids. A public service message from America's Navy.
I looked down at my hands and was like, wow, I'm performing CPR on this guy. And then I actually finally met him. That was probably one of the coolest parts of my life, being able to talk to a guy after I gave him CPR.
Reed was just 17 when he heard a cry for help. Thanks to his Red Cross training, he didn't freeze, he didn't panic, he knew exactly what to do. Red Cross training saves lives. Sign up for a class today at redcross.org.
This week on Fox News Sunday, you'll hear interviews with the top newsmakers of the week and analysis of the top news stories by our distinguished panel of political experts. This is Chris Wallace. Join me this Sunday at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Well, you heard Kevin Weir mentioned Dustin Roberts, his vice president and machinist. And Dustin joins us now from central Louisiana, just down near Lafayette. Good morning there, Dustin.
Good morning.
How you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling great.
Good, good. Duck season
duck
in.
Season.
Duck season's in, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what have you been shooting down there? Mostly mallards?
Well, yeah, I love my wood duck hunts because it's an early hunt in the morning and it's over quick. Oh, I like to hunt teal too. Teal's
yeah.
quick.
Yeah, they're in there. They're in there at daybreak, and then after about the first hour, you're done.
Oh yeah.
If that. So good, and that gives you a little time to get out in the marsh or the swamp. What do you call it?
The marsh.
The marsh down the marsh, the bayou.
Yeah.
So you know, here in the north, we've been marketed, you know, by all the television shows that come out of Louisiana. But you know, the swamp people and the duck folks and all that type of thing. So you know, bear with us here if we say something stupid, and you know, you can help us out with that. How's that sound?
I'm sure I'll understand it.
All right, look, Kevin was on. We talked about the construction of the choke tube, and you're the machinist by trade, correct? You're the one that turned out the first one of these. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and now you're working on the rest of the working on the rest of the models. We've got the Remington. You're working on Beretta, Benelli, Mossberg. You're working on Winchester and Browning, which I think is the same tube, if I recall. And
I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the four most common right now.
Right.
I have a chart where they interchange.
Sure.
And you got the Benelli Creos. You have the Benelli Mobiles for the pump. You have the Invector Plus for your Browning and Winchester.
Right.
So what I can do is put the four most popular out right now and then start working on the other gauges and the other guns.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's kind of my plan for the next upcoming year, is to get more gauges, your 10 gauges and your 20 gauges.
Well, I've got the Franchi 20 gauge, and I've got the Benelli Montefeltro, but I don't think the Montefeltro has the same tube as the standard Beretta. So, you know, you gotta find the right tube to fit the right gun, and you guys are working on that. I mean, this is a relatively new company. You guys are just getting started, but what you've got here is pretty fantastic, and that's a choke tube that shoots an oval pattern, a horizontal pattern, or a vertical pattern, or a diagonal pattern, and you created this device that allows you to adjust that pattern whatever way you want to do it, vertical or horizontal or whatever. So which way, what, now you said you like to do wood duck and teal. Which way do you typically keep your choke tube, you know?
I pretty much keep mine at a horizontal pattern. It helps me when I'm trying to lead the birds.
So you, you shoot behind a lot too, right, like me?
Right.
Yeah. Like everybody.
Well, I used to shoot a Mossberg, and I bought a Remington. Just a good all-around, knock-around gun, a Remington Pump 870. Well, I couldn't hit anything flying. I didn't know what was going on. But opening dove season this year, I put a wide angle in. My first shot, I was dove was cutting across the field. I shot him. He dropped. Well, they had two other doves light on the levee, about 3.5 feet apart from each other. I put the bead directly in between them. I knocked both of them down. So I had three doves on the ground within 5 minutes with two shells. It was amazing.
I guess it is. I guess it is. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. So you put, you did a test on your own choke tube. You put the bead between the two birds. How far apart were the birds?
The birds were 3.5 feet apart. I was about 35 to 40 yards from
them. And you hit both of them.
I hit both of them without even aiming at them.
Yeah, now here's what we don't want to do here. We don't want to encourage people to try and shoot between the ducks to try and kill, you know, both of them with one shot. You still want to pick your bird.
Right. You still want to pick it. It's pretty easy. Your pattern doesn't get wider. About 35 yards, the widest it'll get is about 5.5 to 6 foot.
Wow.
So it's not like it's going to keep getting wider the further it goes.
No, that's about it. That's about the effective range on just about anything. And a pattern like you're telling us is, you know, I was talking to Kevin about the sea ducks. You know, I don't know if you've done a lot of that, but it's a lot of pass shooting and birds in a string, and you'll lead the first one by a car length, and the fourth one will fall out. You know, I mean, that's how the people just underestimate the speed of these birds. And this is where I see this working very, very well on birds that are passing left to right, right to left. And, you know, people consistently, you know, the old thing, butt, beak, bang. You know, you start at the back and you swing through and you put it on their head and you pull the trigger. And a lot of people have trouble with that swinging through on especially on fast-moving waterfowl. So this gives them just a little bit of an edge. You said something when we were off the air that it takes the guy that is an average waterfowl hunter or bird shooter and turns him into, how did you say it?
Pretty much of an everyday hunter, a professional.
Somebody that shoots every day. Somebody that's used
to
shooting. Okay, got it.
Not the hard working American man that goes on his weekend duck hunts and tries to do good. It'll take him and put him with the man that is retired and hunts every day.
You know, or perhaps something along the line of a guide or an outfit or something like that, with enough practice, of course. But that's good. I mean, we need, you know, us weekend warriors, we need all the help we can get. That's for sure.
You're definitely right.
Yep, exactly. Now you shoot wood ducks and teal. Do you use different size shot than you would use for a bigger duck like a mallard or even a goose?
Yes, sir. And I've tried. Different shots in it. I've even put buckshot in it and shot a deer silhouette, and it performs awesome. It'll take you from buying your high dollar black clouds and your octagon shaped BBs,
mm-hmm.
and you won't have to buy those anymore. You can go with your regular box of shells that are cheaper for the market. All you have to do is purchase this choke. It does really, really well with the cheaper boxes of shells.
So, in other words, I can see that. It gives you extra performance. It gives you an extra wide pattern that you can be more effective with, and I get that. You know, and maybe even those odd-sized and odd-shaped pellets like some of the ones that we talked about there. I use Black Cloud out of a standard choke tube, and I'm very happy with it. But, you know, I also use... I use some other shells as well, and you know, when you're a pretty good shot, this can do nothing but make you a far better shot. The way I look at it.
Yes, exactly right.
And if you're a lousy shot, this can take you up a level or two.
Yes. I was amazed at what it did. And I'm the one that, like, made them.
Yeah.
Evan brought me his idea. I made the choke. I shot it at poster boards. I perfected it. And then I never got to hunt with it yet.
Right.
As soon as hunting season opened, well, I shot it. I looked at my girlfriend. I said, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This choke is unbelievable. So what I did was I handed one of our investors a choke tube. I said, listen, this is the only one I have, and I gotta find a gun that you can shoot it and go for teal season. See what, and this guy, he's the owner and inventor of a duck call company down here.
Okay.
So he hunts a pretty good bit. I used to go on trips to Canada with him.
Okay.
On these, guided duck hunts.
Okay.
Well, he took the tube and he tried it, and he called me while he was in the blind. He said, dude, this choke is amazing. He said, unbelievable.
That's
so
cool.
It was awesome to hear him say that.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, Arkansas gets the nod for the duck capital of the South. But I'll tell you what, I'd love to hunt Louisiana anytime. You know, absolutely, because I know that you got a lot of ducks down there.
Just, oh man, every now and then, a couple times a year, I'll get invited to go hunt the marsh on the Pecan Island.
Yeah,
unbelievable! It's awesome.
Pecan Island. That we hear that in a television show from time to time. Liz Cavaliers from Pecan Island, I believe, if I remember right.
So, oh, yeah.
One of them. So, anyway.
Well, they actually film, I think they were filming Swamp People down there with Leah, one of the alligator hunters.
Yeah.
She's from Pecan Island.
Yeah, exactly.
So, pretty much everybody should be familiar with that area. And it's very good duck hunting. We say that all the ducks pass us up and go straight to the marsh, but you just got to catch them right.
Sure. Got it. Well, Kevin, I'll tell you what. I appreciate you joining us today and telling us about your success. Is there anything you'd like to tell us one last thing about the choke tube other than go buy one and try it?
Well, as of right now, go and pick up a choke to try it out in the machine shop. Then I'm placing an order of 200, so they should be on the shelf stores by the 1st of January.
Good.
Hopefully.
Good.
That's what we're looking at.
Well, if you got a Remington, you can get one now, right?
Yes, sir. You got a Remington, you get one now. I have a couple of Benelli Mobiles, and I should have some Invector Pluses by the end of November.
Beautiful.
That's for Winchester and Browning. So
right, right.
Just give me a call, and I'll get them to you.
All right. You want to leave your number, Dustin?
Yeah, my number is 337-351-6005. You can reach me anytime during the day and just place your order. I'll get it to you as quick as I can.
337-351-6005. Dustin Roberts, everybody, Vice President of Wide Angle Shooting Systems. We talked to the president and founder, Kevin, earlier, and we want to thank Dustin for joining us for this segment. Dustin, you have a great waterfowl season. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, the best high-power rifle value today is the A-Bolt 3. The AB3 comes with a 3-9 Redfield scope and a hard case. It comes in select standard calibers like 243, 270, 30-06, 308. Comes in magnums like 300 and 7mm mag. It comes in some short magnum calibers, too, and it's available at Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. Let me tick off a few names. The A5 humpback shotgun, it's back. The BPS pump with bottom ejection. The Maxis autoloader shotgun. The X-Bolt high-powered rifle. The 725 Satori Sporting Clays over and under. The Gold Light 10-gauge. The BT-99 trap.